Ajahn, this morning we were talking about the four right efforts, and I think it was Lan who referred to them as the way to develop virya, and I said it was a description of right effort. So I came across this quote from Anguttara Nikaya where it mentions the four right efforts, and I think in fairness to Lan I should read it. It says, "The monk rouses his will to avoid the arising of evil unwholesome things that have not yet arisen, to overcome evil unwholesome things already arisen, to develop wholesome things not yet arisen, to maintain wholesome things already arisen, and not to let them disappear, but to bring them to growth, to maturity, and to the full perfection of development. And he makes effort, stirs up his energy, exerts his mind, and strives." And then it says, what is the effort to avoid? "Perceiving a form or a sound or an odor or a taste or a bodily impression, the monk neither adheres to the whole nor to its parts, and he strives to ward off that through which evil and unwholesome things might arise, such as greed and sorrow, if he remained with unguarded senses. And he watches over his senses, restrains his senses. This is called the effort to avoid." And then it goes on to deal with the other things.
Please repeat the beginning.
"The monk rouses his will to avoid the arising of evil, unwholesome things."
Okay. Is it not now?
Yes.
Otherwise, we cannot go on with understanding about the rest at all. It has to be now.
Are you now like this?
Now or when I'm not here?
Like now, we're here to consider more about dharmas. So at this moment of listening and considering what is right effort, at that moment there is right effort already. No need to try to have it. It is already roused at this moment, at this very moment of understanding or wise considering already. No need to do anything else.
You didn't have to tell yourself that I will arouse the effort, right? And I mean, for this to happen, we're all here. We didn't have to talk ourselves into having right effort. It's already there by conditions.
It's roused already.
By itself, by anotherness.
Otherwise, it's misled.
Yeah. Well, I would raise it because someone reading that passage could easily get the wrong idea, couldn't they? The monk rouses his will to avoid the arising of evil, unwholesome things not yet arisen. Yeah.
I think that this is an example of conventional teachings, right? Because it shows clearly that in the conventional terms, what effort is like, right? Effort is like.
And it's a good example that if one knows nothing about virya chetasika and how virya chetasika arises and what right effort is and what are the conditions for right effort, then just reading this, take it all for self who can and must do something. So without any understanding of Abhidhamma, impossible to understand any sutta at all.
How much is it sort of suffered in translation?
It's not so much. It's even that in the Pali, I think it would be stated in exactly that way. But it's the understanding. The Buddha didn't have a problem talking conventionally to his direct audience because they didn't have misunderstanding. But we later on, whether reading Pali or English translation, because of the idea of self, and we get it wrong.
As well, when the Buddha spoke, he spoke now. And now us, we read written words that were spoken long ago. So we should understand that it's always about now.
And about Dhamma. Only Dhamma. No one there.
Number 13.
The first bit was from
13 and the second bit was from 14. The bit that describes the four right efforts in more detail is from the next following sutta.
I think what Jana was emphasized is that when the understanding is firm, when it's satchinyana, when it's firm, it doesn't actually matter what translation or whether one's reading Tipitaka or non-Tipitaka or Fashion Magazine or whatever it is, because it's firm understanding that there are only dhammas that are anatta and no one can do anything no matter what is read or said anyway.
Even a moment of thinking about studying and understanding the teachings, that is the first sammapatthana. Because sammapatthana, all four do not arise together when it's not the lokuttara citta.
Now I can see how much little right effort is in daily life, because mostly it's effort to do something else, to watch TV, to do this, to do that.
So you're saying there, Jan, that the four right efforts, only at lokuttara citta do they arise together?
Only in lokuttara citta.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it depends on which one.
Mm-hmm.
Even right now, it can be the beginning of the development of right effort together with other realities. There must be sati at that moment too, because it's moment of kusala.
Mm-hmm.
So if what there is right effort, such understanding.
Mm.
So during lokuttara citta, it's all four, because at that time it functions to eradicate the kilesa?
Completely.
Okay.
Finished.
Interest, I could read the fourth of the four in detail. What now is the effort to maintain? The monk keeps firmly in his mind a favorable object of concentration, such as the mental image of a skeleton, a corpse infested by worms, a corpse blue-black in color, a festering corpse, a corpse riddled with holes, a corpse swollen up. This is called the effort to maintain. There it's a description of a particular kind of recollection that is being undertaken. People are inclined to read these four as an instruction of how to have the four right efforts, but clearly it's only an example of the four right efforts, because maintaining already arisen kusala can apply to any kind of kusala whatsoever. But this one particular instance is given of the monk who is contemplating mental image of a skeleton or something like that.
I think it's just an instance of having a satipatthana by conditions in daily life, because if you live near a cemetery and the corpse are just dropped into the cemetery, then you're passing, you would see the corpses, and while going back home, it's not like a special subject you have to go look for in order to develop that particular kind of samatha.
Even the corpse is in satipatthana under the asupa, but one has to understand what is satipatthana. no selected moment by conditions all the time. So it doesn't mean that we have to follow that by going and look for any corpse to be conditioned for right understanding, but anything at any time. That's why it's Mahasatipatthana, includes everything because of Upatana Khanda. See, all khandas are objects of Upadana. Otherwise, how can there be the just gradual abandon of taking it for I, or me, or thing?
I wonder if the reason corpse is mentioned particularly is because we tend to take it for something, somebody dying, somebody...
I think that monks in the old days lived in the forest and cemeteries sometimes, yeah. And there can be corpse of any living before, like a human being or animal or anything. Whatever is real at that moment should be object of understanding, because lobha is there, upadana of that particular kanda is there.
I think I don't totally understand what you are trying to pointing out, because I think the right effort is any time, now or any time, not just some case when wholesome or unwholesome arise. And also, I also remind that there's no one there to try to do.
That's why Buddha talked out how many jittas arise with effort. Nobody can condition effort to arise at all, or not having it arises. So how many jittas do not arise with effort? Sixteen. Ahetuka jittas. There are altogether 18 ahetuka jittas. Only 2 arises with effort. Dihasitupatha citta, javana citta, and the manodvara vachana. The other 16 do not arise with effort at all. So how can anyone do anything? You don't need to do anything because effort has arisen with that citta, which has it as condition. Does ignorance arise with virya? Even ignorance, there is virya, but not sammabadana at all. That's why if there is no understanding of the development of Satipatthana, one reads the Pitaka with wrong understanding. Still there is I, whom Buddha told to do this or that.
Yes, I was going to say there are a lot more passages in the suttas that read like that. At a first look, they seem to be describing something different.
One word must be conformed with other word, like Dhamma, not self, so... At that moment, no self who is trying to have virya. And Satipatthana is anatta, so anything can be object of Satipatthana. Would you like to stop the arising of Satipatthana? See? It arises by conditions. all the teachings shows the anotherness all the time. From the first word to the last word, even appamatta, it's not self.
Like Lam, think that by talking so much just about realities that we reject patipatti. Would you like to say more, Lam?
May I say about the feelings? I think not only being me, but many listeners may feel that. You are rejecting the practice or rejecting the meditation or sometimes rejecting or ignoring the good deeds, rejecting the developing.
It's now not good deeds.
Now sharing Dhamma is good deeds.
So I do not reject at all.
So, reject any other goodies?
No, not at all. Impossible.
Ignoring any other goodies? Ignoring.
Having no understanding, do we ignore to continue on being no understanding or not understanding anymore? For example, you just talk about or say about practice. I would like to understand what's that and what you do and what you promote.
Practice or developing certain or particular wholesome dhammas, it seems that
can it be done without right understanding?
Of course, I think all the meditators want to.
I would like to know who is the meditator.
Those one who are practicing now.
So what do they do when they say they are practicing?
They may practice with one object, let's say breath or one of the 40.
And what do they do when they practice?
Instead of jumping from this object to another object.
But they jump.
Mr. Monkey Mind. That's the nature of mind.
Can that be the way of changing the mind?
Jitta arises and falls away instantly. Which one you'd like to train?
Buddha also said the mind is monkey. That's why it is necessary to be trained.
Without understanding or with understanding?
Of course, everyone will try to practice with dry understanding.
Can there be understanding without studying the teachings?
That the meditator doesn't study any teachings at all.
So the meditator knew better than Buddha because they didn't study.
Of course, they try to study and follow Buddha's teaching.
Buddha didn't say to practice, but he taught about realities to be in.
Then we may find conflicts between.
No, really, at all. In the teachings, anatta. Citta, cetasika, rupas, they are not I nor we.
So how about those sutta which Buddha taught about vipassana or four foundations of mindfulness? Or
so you mean that that moment there must be we or I?
No.
So what
never,
are there?
Never,
are there?
Never
what
self.
Are there then?
Just the Chitta or chittasika which develop or meditate.
What do you mean by develop or meditate? How to develop and how to meditate? So everyone can...
I think the difference between development and meditation is that development means the arising of the wholesome factor. So development of insight means insight arises, a moment of insight arises and accumulates. Whereas when people talk about meditation or practice, they mean doing something in order to try and have insight or awareness to arise. But the Buddha didn't speak about that. What he spoke about was when understanding develops, how understanding develops, that is, it arises, and what are the conditions for that.
I'm sure Buddha didn't say meditation because it's not Makati or Pali. So what the word he taught, bhavana, mean? What is it, bhavana?
And vipassana.
Any kind of bhavana.
Bhavana means development. Development means it develops. It doesn't mean undertake a practice to try and make it develop. So there's a difference there. Samatha bhavana means the development that samatha is developing. Vipassana bhavana means that insight is developing.
No, I'm not sure if I understand the meaning of monkey mind just now I brought up. I thought that the meaning of monkey mind is that it's normal for chitta to
it's
just...
It's now.
It's normal.
Yeah, normal.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not something that we need to try not to have.
No, not at
it's
all.
It's just normal.
It's from seeing to hearing, thinking, so on.
So, but quickly. Most people, Lan seems to have that understanding too, that it's something undesirable. Therefore, meditate, choose one object and try not to let the mind jump around. Is that something the Buddha would have taught?
Buddha taught everyone to understand reality as not self.
Right.
So just to clarify that the monkey mind applies to the arahat also.
Anytime anyone is now.
Yeah.
From eyes to ears.
That's the meaning of monkey mind.
Mentioning that you thought that for some people one factor of the path may be stronger, and afterwards you gave an example of right concentration. For example, someone may concentrate on the breath, and you said with understanding. And I think for you this is an example of patipatti, whereas you think that if we're just here leading our normal lives, there's no patipatti, because you think it must be some concentrating on an object or something in particular. Is that right?
So how about the sutta which Buddha said that there's anything more, as I remember, intractable than the tamed mind or than the untamed mind or uncontrolled mind? So how about that?
And what do reality train the mind?
The mind. Mm-hmm.
What trained the mind?
What trained the mind?
Trained. What trained the mind?
What trains the mind?
How is it trained?
How does the mind become trained? Or tamed?
By what?
Tamed. By read that sutta.
Agrees that a trained mind is good and an untrained mind is bad. So everyone is interested in a trained mind, but what is a trained mind and how is it trained?
Of course, no one, so it must be the mind.
You mean the mind trained the mind? Or what trained?
Yes.
So the mind trained the mind? How the mind trained the mind? Citta is only the faculty of experiencing. It cannot do anything else at all. Whenever it experiences, that's its function, only function of citta. So how can it train the mind?
Wise thinking or wise effort.
Thinking. There are so many cetasikas. When it's wrong thinking, citta experiences such object, which is the object of thinking. It cannot do anything.
So what is the right understanding?
Right understanding is not citta.
So I asked that, what is the right understanding about the sutta, which Buddha taught about the tamed mind and untamed mind?
Yeah, no matter what citta Buddha taught everyone to understand, the nature of reality is not self, anatta.
Yes.
So what trains the mind?
That's what I would like to ask you about, the right understanding. How to understand
right
about that?
Are we not training now? Hearing the teachings, considering, beginning to understand intellectually, which we understanding of what Buddha taught.
This wise considering or moments of understanding, at this moment the mind is tamed for that instant. And afterwards, when there's attachment to what's seen or heard at those moments, it's untamed. But how is it tamed more and more? Only through developing more understanding.
To what I have read on the sutta, so it seems that when Buddha taught about Dhatu, then it seems that take time to... it may take a certain time for to reflect or contemplate on the Dhatu only, not that during reflecting or contemplating about Dhatu and jump to the for foundation of mindfulness, or jump to breath, or jump to alayatana, or jump to other themes of Dhamma. So it's like it will not be strong enough. It's just like the in September you raise a seed, and then until in February you raise a seed. So how can it be strong enough to the moment of attainment?
Is there hardness appearing now?
Sometime.
No, okay, now.
Yes, now it may be hardness, and then the later moment it will be sound.
We just talk, we don't jump. We just talk about hardness.
Because I think I jump, that's why I... That's my problem.
So we do not jump, but you jump.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Yeah. Now, please don't jump.
How can I?
Okay, listen. Yeah. Is there any hardness appearing?
Avoid to jump.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Is there hardness appearing now?
Yes.
Is it you?
No.
What is it?
Hardness only.
Tattoo? Dhamma, reality, not you, right?
Yes.
So what train such understanding to become gradually detached from taking it for something permanent like my leg or chair or things? Because usually after seeing or touching, there's the idea of something instead of understanding the tattoo, just the element of hardness is there, right?
Can you say anything? I'm sorry.
Is hardness anything?
Hardness is hardness.
Okay. How can there be the understanding of hardness at that moment? So there's never be the idea of thing in it at all.
After listening, then may remind about that.
So after listening, not practicing, right?
Listening is one moment. Practicing may need too many moments like
okay.
that.
Okay, let's tell us the moments of practicing after.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do?
As I said, we many moments with the same kind of object.
Where is the and what is the understanding then?
Because actually, at one moment there are a lot of dhammas arise all together. So by accumulation, one may be the object.
Have you
often
heard,
or more often?
Yeah. Have you heard about moment with sati and moment without sati? Are they different?
Of course it is.
So, how can one know that that is moment with sati, and the other moment is not the moment with sati?
They may or may not can talk about it clearly, but they may know, they know at some extent.
They. Who are they? Right understanding or what? Or other chetasikas?
The mind may experience, the mind may know, or but at some extent.
I think that we have to understand the difference between the mind and the right understanding and the sati and other chetasikas. Otherwise, there must be I whenever what chetasika arises. So, I do not think that the self can understand reality as it is.
I think no one with the purpose of following Buddha has the idea of self to do, to practice or to meditation or to do or to be.
So, is it easy to have no idea of self?
That's the goal or the purpose.
While one is practicing, it seems like there can be no idea of self more and more.
Right. All those who practice also remain with the right attitude, which is not I practice or.
Do you think that no need to study the teachings anymore or carefully?
Of course, and it's not that the meditators don't study.
So you said that the meditation study the teachings, right? To condition the moment of awareness, right awareness by conditions, or what?
Of course, studying dhammas and many other things are conditions for the right mindfulness to arise.
What do you mean by many other things?
Many other wholesome dhammas.
Like what?
Concentration on breath, an example of something that helps to develop more understanding?
Yes.
Is there attachment or detachment from breath at moment of concentrating on it?
It may or may not, because there is the intention there is intention, that's why the vitaka how to say approach the object which is breath or any other object than the later moment receive that object.
I think we have different purposes.
You're saying that during meditation, you think to concentrate on breath, and that leads to understanding breath. Vitakka, you were just mentioning. Thinking about breath, to concentrate about breath, and then that leads to concentrating and understanding the breath. Is that what you're saying? Like now, can I think to touch, to feel hardness? And that is that going to lead to understanding hardness?
Buddha said there is a way. It's not that there is not way.
So this should also lead to understanding hardness. Just touch and concentrate.
And there are means for the developing.
And is concentrating on breath an example of what you mean by patipatti that we reject?
And is it right effort?
I think that the different purposes is one tries to concentrate and think that that's the way to understand reality, whatever appear. And the other purpose for those who study think that without the study of the teachings carefully, there can never be the development of understanding, because the one who is not the Samma Sambuddho cannot think out of anything by oneself, that it has to be this or that, because the word in Pali, bhavana, doesn't mean practice at all. It means the development. Why is the development? Because usually citta is akusala. So with ignorance, citta is always experiences reality without any understanding at all, as not self. Today, how many times there was the moment which understood reality right then? Is there any moment from morning up to now to understand reality? Or you think that you must practice, otherwise there can never be the understanding of reality at all?
I think the cover up is the cover up of ignorance is too thick, and also the attachment is too powerful, and the truth is too difficult to realize or to penetrate. That's why after understand about the reality or the path, then it is necessary to develop until it's strong enough to eradicate all the kilesa. If by reality is only nama and rupa, so it's no problem. But actually, Buddha taught about the problems which are the cause of suffering. It is the attachment and ignorance that we need to develop the Eightfold Path to eradicate all the cause of suffering.
So it sounds like you know the Buddha's teaching already. That right?
No, I know that I don't.
so much ignorance and craving in daily life, right? And you're saying that's why you need to meditate.
Qualities need to develop.
And, I thought you said that in order to justify meditating, you're not saying that because there's so much ignorance and attachment to different objects, you need to sit down in a quiet place, concentrate on object.
All the factors of the Noble Eightfold Path need to be developed to the enough strength, and all the paramis need to fulfill completely.
Completely? In order that Magga arise? Yes, I agree with you. But we are discussing the reason for meditation. What leads to the idea of meditation? Why do we need to meditate?
I need to learn more before I can discuss with you.
Can anyone who does not study the teachings practice?
I think study and practice.
So how long that after study can one practice?
It's not that study only, it's necessary to practice also, to develop also.
So you mean that it doesn't matter how long or how short one studies the teachings, but the important is understanding the teaching, each word, enough to condition the moment of being aware, right awareness.
So do you mean that after studying enough, only then after that can one practice or develop?
Unexpectedly, because the teachings of the Buddha leads all the way to detachment from clinging to the idea of self.
Is direct understanding also studying? Right.
Yes, but at moment when it arises, it's different from moment of study. The theory or the teachings, intellect.
But they're related.
Without the intellectual understanding, can there be moment of direct understanding of any reality right now? This is the point.
So we don't say, we can say that just having intellectual understanding is not enough. There must be direct understanding too.
After intellectual understanding can be conditions for right awareness to arise.
Right. But even intellectual understanding, no one can make
it arise. Because it's only intellectual understanding.
And just reading a book is not intellectual understanding.
It depends on whether one understands what one reads or not.
Right.
It does mean the read, and then you can develop, practice anything.
So, would you see practice as being the application of what one has studied about the teachings? Or is it something different?
I think I haven't studied enough to answer. That's why I want to ask.
When one studies the teachings, if one appreciates that they refer to the present moment, then in a sense there is the application as one studies, if you see what I mean. Because most people who read the teachings, who study the teachings, do not see them as applying to the present moment. So that's why they see the need to practice. But if we understand that when we read about seeing invisible object, that it refers to this moment of seeing a visible object, then it's a different idea altogether, right? Different kind of understanding.
It doesn't have to be a separate
step of practice in order for the teachings to be relevant and to see the application of the teachings.
So then could we say that it's because having heard the teachings, there's no application that one has the idea of doing something. If there was application, means relating to the moment, then there's no idea of doing anything.
If one understands that they do relate to the present moment, then there's no need to institute a practice in order to understand them, understand the teachings better.
As soon as there's an idea of undertaking a practice, such as concentrating on an object like breath, it's not patipatti at all, because self is involved. So patipatti, like now, we're talking about visible object that's seen. So this is understanding in theory, but visible object is real. It can be directly known at this moment. Right now, only visible object is seen. And at that moment of directly understanding that what is seen is just visible object, it is patipatti. No one doing anything. Understanding is there. Right effort is there. Nothing is focused on, nothing is concentrated on. It's not a matter of no monkey mind or anything like that. But at that moment, when visible object appears, the world appears at that moment, when just that which is seen is directly known, it is patipatti. But without hearing and considering that it is visible object seen, without the theory, without the pariyatti, there cannot be patipatti. It has nothing to do with focusing on an object at all. It's just like normally, as we mentioned the other day, after seeing, ignorance comes in, attachment comes in, and when understanding develops, instead of attachment coming in as usual, panya can come in. It can directly know that what appears now is just that which is seen. And that is right practice. Not doing something, focusing, concentrating, trying to experience a particular object. That's all wrong practice.
I think what you were saying earlier, it seems one of your concerns is that what you understand from discussing here is that moments of understanding are far apart, means that one moment now and then another moment next month. I think you were referring to that, right? So you were talking about then how to is that enough? Is that good enough? Shouldn't we be doing something to make it more than just that? Is that the one of the reasons that you think meditation is necessary?
Focus or not concentrate, so please tell me about reflect and contemplate.
Chintamaya Panya. We're talking about Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, Bhavanamaya Panya. Is that what you're asking? Contemplate?
Like now. Reflecting on dharmas, reflecting on visible object, just that which is seen, or hardness, that which appears. This is reflecting, and it's reflecting wisely, and it's this reflecting wisely that leads to deeper understanding, and the deeper understanding
which directly understands those characteristics which appear one at a time. That is patipati, that is right practice. Not anyone choosing to be aware of hardness or visible object or any other reality, but naturally through wise reflection it leads to direct understanding of what appears now. So just what is seen, no people in it, no table, just that reality. But without considering and hearing the Buddha's teachings, without beginning to understand in theory that there are just dharmas, no self involved, no one who can do anything, no one can make an effort, no one can concentrate, then cannot be direct understanding of visible object or seeing now. So never anything to be done. And it's never a question of how at all. It's what we're talking about. We're talking about right understanding of realities. And the way Satipatthana is patipati. But it has to begin with a lot of hearing and considering very carefully about what the Buddha taught. And this is why we talk a lot about these realities that appear now. Because what you call the practice can only be now. Concentrating on another object is not patipati. It's wrong concentration with attachment.
So, I think that's why you remind us about you keep talking about not only pariyati, patipati and pativeda. You also talk about satyayana, kichayana, katayana. Because it's not only that pariyati leads to patipati, patipati to pativeda, or sutta maya panya, chinta maya panya, bhavana maya panya. It's also about the understanding that it's only this moment that can be understood.
Do you need anyone to tell you to practice? Or you practice by yourself?
Teaching. And never I create my own or myself.
Do you understand the teaching is enough?
Of course I don't.
So without the understanding of the teachings better and better, can there be a moment of the development of direct understanding of whatever Buddha taught right now?
Of course I need to study much more.
So forget about practice.
That's why I just want to listen, but...
Because you see, it has nothing to do with practice at all. Because one realizes that the understanding of the teaching is not enough yet. That's why one listens. And one does not hope to have the Satipatthana at such and such time. It is a condition. Otherwise, it's not the path of detachment. It would be the path of attachment along the way without the understanding of ignorance and the clinging to the five khandhas. Without better and better understanding the teachings about the five khandhas, there is no other way to understand khandha right now at all. Only the word seeing is a reality. It arises, it falls away. It's a khanda and it's rupa khanda, and there is clinging to it, taking it for something permanent. That's all one knows. That's not enough at all. It has to be the panya which realizes the truth that it can not be taken for self, because the more one understands it, it's not self, by way of tattoo, by way of ayatana, or by way of Arya Satya, or by way of Satyayana, or any word fits this moment. Otherwise, the teaching is not about reality right now. So when does it, the teachings of Buddha to lead to understanding? What if it's not now?
When we talk about the practice of the Dhamma, we mean a moment of awareness of a reality. Whereas other people may talk about practicing to have awareness, doing something in order to get awareness to arise. So it's not that we reject practice, it's we have a completely different understanding of what practice of the Dhamma means.
May I say we reject ignorance and wrong understanding?
Moment of understanding of reality that we are talking about, that is practice, how is it conditioned? Is it conditioned by choosing an object and focusing on it? Or is it conditioned by hearing the teachings, reflecting on the teachings and what the Buddha taught about different realities? Our understanding is that it's by hearing and being reminded of the realities of the present moment that such awareness can be conditioned to arise, rather than being something that we try to have deliberately, making an effort to do something, which is really self wanting to have awareness. Do you see the difference there?
Mentioned in the van about your discussion with another friend about conditions and studying the intricacy and what is helpful.
I was thinking of bringing up something else. You reminded me, something you said reminded me. Fashion magazine. We also talked about. I said there's no difference between choosing to read a fashion magazine or opening a Dhamma book if it's done, if opening the Dhamma book is done with the idea of that it can, you know, you can have more kusala than opening a fashion magazine. And so, and I was just relating to what Nan was saying about practice. Just because there's no, not enough understanding, doesn't mean that we have some idea and follow the idea about practice. Same way as there's no conditions to open a Dhamma book and there's interest in something else. And because we have the idea that if we open a Dhamma book and start reading, we will have more understanding, that becomes a wrong practice, so to speak. You know, thing is, all moments are conditioned. You open a fashion magazine, it's conditioned. If there's understanding, it can happen. Then there can be understanding while reading anything. And if there are no conditions, then opening a Dhamma book also won't lead to any understanding. So just thinking of having direct understanding
and wanting to have direct understanding is not a condition for direct understanding to happen. It happens when the conditions are right and when the panya is accumulated enough. It's easy to have wrong ideas about how to make, how to have more kusala, how to have more panya by doing this or that. But it's that's not understanding.
So it is the trisan chapkama or the accumulation that you open, that is belong to the path, which is you open the magazine. But the later moment when you when you keep on reading the magazine and indulge in the content of entertainment, so that is the moment where you create new karma for the future and create more accumulation to the entertainment. Is that right?
Well, it may happen or may not happen. You can have a moment of understanding, but maybe just a moment, and followed by attachment again, forgetfulness again. But so what? That's our life. That's according to our accumulations. But to think that because one moment you see magazine, you make up your mind, I shall not read fashion magazine anymore. I would instead start to read a Dhamma book. That does not guarantee that understanding will arise.
Yes.
And in fact, if there's no understanding, just a little understanding about attachment while reading the magazine, that doesn't eradicate the attachment. So when you open a Dhamma book, would that not also likely be with attachment?
So how about the food? What is the food for understanding, or what is the food for relinquishment, and what is the food for sensual pleasure?
What is the food for, can you repeat?
So what is the food for understanding, and what is the food for wholesome dhamma, what is the food for relinquishment, and what is the food for sensual pleasure, and what is the food for unwholesome dhammas?
I think the food for understanding is hearing the Dhamma and reflecting on the teachings. Only a Buddha teaches about understanding of Dhammas, and so only by considering what we've heard from his teachings can there be the conditions for the arising of awareness of realities. And it's like that for all other kinds of kusala too, because although other kinds of kusala were not uniquely taught by the Buddha, they are known to people outside the Buddha's dispensation. But still, it is hearing and reflecting on the value of kusala that is a condition for more kusala in one's life. So if we remember the value of good speech, for example, when we are going to say something unpleasant, then there may be the restraint from that unpleasant speech, wholesome restraint. So it's being reminded of the value of kusala, that is a condition for more kusala, not trying to practice to do good deeds of this kind. Let me give more dana, let me reflect more at certain times of the day, or recite the teachings, or open a book so many times, or something like that. Because these are rituals. They are not spontaneous manifestations of wholesome tendencies. They're things that are undertaken with the aim of having more, so it's a kind of practice. And I think that's all we need to know.
Eating the food which is the entertainment, let's say from fashion magazine or movie.
If we don't open the fashion magazine, what do we do? Does that mean there's more kusala? What do we do instead of opening the fashion magazine?
What is the more likely tendency for entertainment?
Say we don't turn on the TV because we think it's going to accumulate unwholesome tendencies. What are we going to do instead? Just have pure kusala? I don't think so, because the...
It's not sure that if you don't turn on the TV, then you won't have wholesome citta. But if get involved in entertainment or sensual pleasure, then it more potentially for unwholesome, and the wholesome is not protected.
Well, let's take the present moment and talk about, say, the seeing and visible object. Is there attachment now to the visible object? Or no attachment to the visible object?
It's not
attachment, right? Must be. So, and what is being heard, the sound, the taste, the touch, thinking about what I'm going to have after the discussion, how many stories running through our head right now about different things? Even though we're having Dhamma discussion, there are other stories going on at the same time, or with attachment or aversion.
Reading fashion magazine or study movie, then totally forgetful.
Not necessarily. It depends on one's accumulations. If one has the accumulation to be totally absorbed,
of course, it depends on the past accumulation. But create new accumulation or karma for the future?
What kind of karma are you creating by watching a television?
For those who has accumulated enough wholesome, then maybe no problem. But for me, I'm very weak. That's why it's easy to indulge in sensual pleasure more.
Yes, I think we're all the same, but what agusala gama is going to be committed by as a result of watching television?
How is it kusala to avoid watching television? How is it kusala?
Because if we don't watch out of fear of that, we to watch would develop more akusala. So out of fear of having more akusala, we don't watch television.
Is that the fear, or is that the see the danger?
Is it? Well, which is it? Is it kusala that, or is it just our idea of... Did anyone say don't watch television?
I don't think the Buddha ever
suggested that for the lay person, I'm talking about now, that the lay person should not live a normal household life.
The precept, which is... abstain from the entertainment.
Is that
develop wholesome or develop the understanding?
For those who have the accumulation to undertake those precepts and can do so with kusala.
Okay.
because undertaking additional precepts but not with kusala, it does not bring the kind of benefit that the Buddha spoke about.
Mentioned doing with understanding or not doing with understanding or not doing with without understanding and it seems that you only classify into two, that which is doing good deeds without understanding and not doing good deeds but have understanding, but you don't classify the other two, which is doing not doing good deeds and also not have any understanding, and the perfect one is doing good deeds with right understanding and good kusala.
I think I was referring to having kusala, not necessarily having right understanding. But anyway, we all agree that kusala is to be developed. But what we're saying is that the condition for development of kusala is appreciating the advantage of kusala and not doing things because they are the right or wrong things to do, in the belief that if I do this, there'll be less kusala. If I avoid watching TV, there'll be less kusala than if I watch TV. That sort of thing is what we are saying is not the development of kusala, natural development of kusala.
Can panya understand whatever appears?
It depends the extent of understanding, Acha.
Can it? Because it's right understanding, so can it understand whatever appears now?
It can.
Can it now?
Yeah, it's difficult.
See, is it possible for those who had developed understanding enough?
Yes.
So how can there be such way to develop? Because Buddha didn't just say that there's no self, everything is conditioned reality, but he also showed the way to have stronger understanding, keener understanding too. 45 years of his whole life, he taught and taught conditions for right understanding.
Even the word Dhamma,
beginning with the word Dhamma, it means there is no one, no self, only Dhamma appears, only Khanda appears. See? If one does not understand this, now is Khanda, which means the reality which is conditioned, arising and falling away. No understanding of no self. No matter what one reads, it's motivated or taught from Buddha to understand realities. No one. Otherwise the teachings might disagree, because he said no self and then he tried to tell someone to do something that's wrong. It doesn't conform what he said before. So each word cannot be changed because it represents reality, the absolute reality, controllable. But panya, right understanding, can keep understanding. Everything is just like what the Buddha taught for 45 years. From Tipitaka to talk about?
I have another point of Nina's I'd like to bring up. You said on a recording that she heard that what is seen is the nimitta of the four primary rupas, and this didn't make sense because one would think that what was meant was the nimitta of visible object is seen, but we know that visible object is accompanied by the four primary rupas, but this isn't clear. So when you talk about the, when you refer to the nimitta of the four primary rupas, what do you mean?
What's this?
Visible object.
Only visible object?
Because so it's accompanied by the four primaries and other rupas, otherwise it wouldn't be this.
So it brings the understanding of the four primary rupas here to be seen.
Right. But what is actually seen is the
visible object,
which
arises with the four primary rupas.
So
but the four primary rupas cannot impinge on the eye base. Right. But without it, no visible object appearing at all to seeing.
So when you mentioned that what is seen is the nimitta of the four primary rupas, I think what you mean is that what is seen is the nimitta of the visible object accompanied by the four primary rupas.
For example, you see the shape. See? This is the Mahabhuta Rupa.
Yes.
With the visible object. Only visible object is seen with this.
With it.
So there is such shape.
Right. It affects, it conditions it at that moment. So it's this one because of the Mahabhuta Rupas.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we say because of the Mahabhuta Rupas? What about the other rupas also that accompany that visible object, for example, at the moment of in the same kalapa apart from...
Can it be seen?
Cannot be seen, but the Mahabhuta Rupas also cannot be seen, only visible object is seen, but they all condition the visible object at that moment.
So different ways to experience different reality.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because each visible object that is seen is different, is distinct, so the visible object of here is different from the visible object there. And why is each visible object different? Because it's been conditioned by different Mahabhuta Rupas. And so actually when the visible object is seen, it is that one which is, even though it's only visible object, but it's that particular kind of visible object because of the effect of the Mahabhuta Rupas that have conditioned it at that moment. So this is why one can refer to the nimitta of the Mahabhuta Rupas or as well as the nimitta of the visible object, because they condition each other even though only visible object is seen.
Otherwise, you cannot touch anything.
So we can say that difference in nimitta of visible object indicate different Mahabhuta Rupas.
Yes.
For example, a young face and old face, just different visible object, different Mahabhuta Rupas.
Different Mahabhuta Rupas.
Because each of the other rupas depends on the Mahabhuta Rupas to arise.
Another example is the smell of the perfume, see? You know where it is. Because the Mahabhuta Rupas are there.
Sound also.
Or the taste, each taste. The same condition. Yeah. Different topic. Metta Bhavana. Alberto, you wrote that you think that Metta Bhavana, for example, in the development of Samatha or the Brahma Vihara is very different from Metta Parami, because as we've been discussing, when it's Metta Parami, being friendly and willing to help others, it has to develop with understanding of realities as no self,
And you mentioned that you think that the metta with understanding of realities as no self conditions the first kind, other kind of metta. But you mentioned that you think that the characteristic is very different. Can you? Yes.
I think it was about metta bhavana, and I was trying to say that it can only be conditioned by metta parami, which is not metta bhavana, and cannot be. I thought that because I think Lucas was saying something like, why not trying metta bhavana, which is easier than satipatthana. But it's not easy at all if you have not the right accumulation of metta anyway.
But is it necessary coming from parami?
Parami is just with the understanding, but doesn't have to be. Even pariyati, it's understanding. So. Even at a low level, it's still parami, I think. I don't know. Metta with panya of pariyati level.
It's parami. It has to have right understanding.
Right, but there can be metta bhavana without right understanding.
Like jhana.
Yes.
Yeah.
But lots of kusala. But
which is not parami.
Up to jhana level can be no understanding of reality at all, no parami at all in that case.
Jhana needs panya, doesn't it? But it's still
panya to see the danger of attachment. Otherwise there's no development of calmness at all.
So it's not parami, jhana?
Is there any understanding of the danger of samsara, not just the danger of the five senses? The difference between the development of jhana and the development of right understanding is that for those who develop jhana, just see the danger of the sensuous object.
Before the Buddha's time, no paramis, no understanding of realities at all, but very high degree of kusala.
Maybe or maybe not. Maybe not necessary.
So even disciples like Moggallana and Sariputta, then jhanas, but so very high degree of metta bhavana, but not yet any understanding of realities until they heard the Buddha's teaching.
Right, yeah, got it.
Avetta would argue that they did have the bharami.
We don't know
These people did. Yeah. But other people, not Moggallana, may also have jhana, but without bharami.
What we are talking now, can it be conditioned for direct understanding of reality, which is bhavana? Otherwise, how can there be moment of right awareness right now? If there is no understanding of reality right now as different ones all the time, never come back. Khanda. Each one is each khanda. Is that what you want? Good deeds? Having more metta.
Like now, if there is metta, like now we're being friendly, we're trying to we're helping our friends or showing some sympathy or kindness for others, with or without any understanding. So is that right practice now, at moments of metta, when there is a little understanding?
Right development.
When the Buddha was asked what are the conditions or factors of stream entry, he said, associating with the wise, hearing the true Dhamma, right consideration and practice in accordance with Dhamma. Right consideration.
Consideration.
Yeah.
Reflection.
Okay, wise attention, right. And when further asked, what are the factors for Arattha, the same four factors. So this shows that hearing the Dhamma is valuable at any time for anybody, even Aryans. But I get the impression about meditators that they want to get on with practice at the expense of hearing more and studying. They sort of, if they accept that there needs to be study, but they will say that practice is more important. Never mind if there's no studying. So that, to me, it shows not really seeing the value of hearing the Dhamma.
Because now, at moment of understanding the teachings, it is that which is Sankhara Khanda are developing, all Chittasikas which arise with the Kusala Chitta at this moment, from moment to moment, are developing right understanding. Until then, when there can be right understanding directly of our reality right now.
And it's not, I think most of the Buddha's origins
became enlightened while listening, isn't it?
No rule at all. Mm-hmm.
But what we hear in the suttas that there and then they became sotapannas or even arahatas while listening to the Buddha.
Because develop all the time, from moment of hearing to other moment.
So, if it's panya is not going to arise when listening to Dhamma, what are the chances of it arising when not hearing the Dhamma? When there's a reminder about the Dhamma now, and there's no understanding, how can we expect it to arise when you follow an idea about going somewhere else to do something?
There may have two or four kinds. One which is study Dhamma and apply the teachings.
What applies?
So what did you tell me about application? Can you say?
Sankhara Khanda.
What I said was that one studies the Dhamma with the understanding that it applies to the present moment. What one is learning about is relevant to, is explaining the present moment.
And what applies is not self. There must be Sankhara Khanda only, which can perform its function.
It's not as that one has
the idea of one has to apply the Dhamma.
But one appreciates that it
relates to, applies to in that respect, relates to the present moment.
Have the case that study and developing and study and not developing. Is that Raja?
No one can develop because there are only citta, chittasikas and rupa. Yeah. No you, no me, no one. That's why Buddha taught about the five khandhas. Do not forget the sankhara khandha, the 50 chittasikas arising and falling out, depending on different moments. Whenever there is understanding, there must be other kusala chetasikas as well. And they are applying from moment to moment.
And I think that when it is the importance of hearing and considering, that is not saying that a practice cannot arise at any time. So, understanding, right, direct understanding can arise while listening.
Where were Sankhara Khanda yesterday?
Completely gone.
Mm-hmm. So, what's in the citta which succeeds from moment to moment? The accumulation of Sankhara Khanda. So when there's the idea of I will do this or that, I will practice, it's wrong understanding, the wrong sankhara khanda.
And Ajahn, could we say that when we see the value of listening and listen, consider and discuss, implied in that is the value of direct understanding? Because it is aimed at direct understanding that we listen, see, hear.
Because without now, it's impossible to have direct understanding at all.
So, Ajahn, is that by accumulation, then is that one particular theme of reality, which is when be more suitable for one who accumulate or any kind of reality.
Still, the question is still the idea of selection, of someone selecting an object or a theme or an object. It's not understanding that right now what arises now, the citta is conditioned, and what the citta experiences is conditioned. So no one can select anything at all. It's an illusion when we think that a self can practice or select an object, because there isn't a self. Nothing can be selected. Seeing now arises by conditions. No one can choose to see. No one can choose what is seen. So the reason that we discuss and consider more and more about realities is so that we learn that there is no situation like reading a fashion magazine or turning on the television or selecting an object. There is just citta, chetasika and rupa, which is conditioned from moment to moment. That's it.
So why did in each sutta Buddha taught about one or some particular themes of reality, let's say about dhatu, or let's say about ayatana, or let's say about four foundations of mindfulness, or but Buddha does not mix all.
Ignorance and the wrong view is so strongly ingrained. We need to hear about realities in many different aspects. So if the Buddha just taught about how seeing now is dhatu, visible object is dhatu, it's not enough. We also have to consider the aspect of what is ayatana, how in order for there to be the seeing, there has to be the visible object that's arisen, the sense space that's arisen, pasa that has arisen, in order for there to be seeing of that object. So there has to be the coming together of different dharmas. So he taught in different aspects to help us realize there really is no self that can do anything, that can select anything. And the same with khandhas. So no matter what visible object is seen, it's still just khanda. No matter what seeing arises, it's still just khanda. So whatever aspect, whatever way the Buddha taught, it's just to really help us understand that there are only dhammas and they're all anatta and no one can do anything. And regardless of the time or occasion or the situation, just dhammas to be understood. And then in our daily life, like, I don't think about which is the dhamma situation and the non-dhamma situation. I don't, whether I'm opening a dhamma book or a magazine, it makes no difference because they're just different realities that are conditioned at that moment. And understanding can arise any time at all. So all his teachings are just to help us come closer and closer to understand what is real at this moment. What is seen is just visible object, that's it. No matter what, where we are or what kind of book or magazine we're looking at, only visible object that's seen.
See the benefit of studying sutta, well, then can understand about which in the Sutta Buddha taught in many ways for many diversified listeners with different accumulation, and through that then the benefit is to understand diversified aspect of dhammas. But it's not that Buddha foresees the accumulation of the listeners at a particular time, or that's why Buddha preach the different content which is suitable for that listeners to develop and to.
Point in the decline of the teachings that would be very, very little understanding of realities, and he knew that for people like us, it's so difficult to understand that there are just conditioned dharmas, no self, and he knew that for us, it's not enough just to read some suttas without the detail in the Abhidharma about different cittas and processes and different mental factors and more precise details, impossible to give up the idea of self. He knew all of that. So he taught for people like us to understand in many different ways. For people like his great disciples, like Sariputta and Moggallana, they didn't need to hear all these details in order to become enlightened. But for people like us, we need to hear and consider a lot to develop even a little understanding. So he knew that.
How can there be less clinging to the upadana khanda?
That's only by understanding khanda itself, because otherwise we think we cling to people and places and situations, but when we appreciate that actually it's just visible object or just sound that we find so important, and it's just the reality that arises and falls away instantly, only then can one begin to see how ridiculous it is, upadana khanda, just clinging to these different dhatus.
Ajahn, Isak Buddha taught many. In the Sutta Buddha taught many case or example or situation which may cling to the khanda, and thus we can learn through that object or that's the matter which easily to be cling. That's why that we have to not to cling, right?
If it's not the moment of realizing the arising and falling away of akhanda, can there be less clinging to that particular one? Usually we talk about wrong view, right? Wrong ditti. But even ditti needs the object, an object at that moment when ditti arises. If there is no understanding of ditti, of what, then it's impossible to have less clinging to ditti as I or my clinging or my...
And it must be ditti of khanda also, of a reality.
Is there clinging to see?
It wouldn't be obvious when there is the apparent object. Well, that's more easier to...
See that even it's there, it's unknown, because it's not panya. Only panya can understand right then that ditti is like that. For example, hardness at the body. Usually one clings to it as my arms, my legs, right? Right or wrong? It's me, the leg, it's me. So at that moment, panya sees the misunderstanding and the clinging and the wrong ditti, taking it for me. And when there is some understanding, little by little, there can be the elimination of taking it for me or my leg, because the characteristic of hardness appear to panya. Hardness is just only hardness. This is the way to have less clinging and really to understand what we said, like wrong view. It must have an object of it when it arises. But panya can see that it's wrong because it does not see reality as it is, but takes it as usual, as it's me. That hardness is me, or my toe, or my leg, or my hand. Even it does not appear as leg or hand at all. This is the moment of understanding ditti, that it can take anything for me or self.
Actually, we can say that if there's no understanding of different realities, such as visible object or sound or hardness, impossible to understand the characteristic of ditti, because there's no idea of what there is wrong understanding about. So there has to be understanding of different realities in order for ditti to really be understood.
Like people think that ditti means having
wrong understanding about karma or the origin of the world or something like this, but actually ditti now is wrong understanding about visible object or hardness or sound or other realities. About metta, and this may not be at all what Alberto meant, but it conditioned my thinking about it. So we talk about the characteristic of metta or friendliness, and the object is people. And when there's right understanding, when metta develops with right understanding, the right understanding arises afterwards, which can understand it as a reality. But the actual characteristic of metta, no matter it's developing with right understanding of realities or just right understanding through the development of calm, is there any difference in the nature of metta because it's being conditioned by the understanding of realities? Can one just say it's deeper or higher level of metta?
For those who develop samatha bhavana, metta is... him or there.
Yes.
Yeah. My metta.
Yes.
I have more metta.
But at the actual moments of metta, because at those moments
there's no right or wrong view, because people are the objects, so at the moment
metta,
it arises.
When there's right understanding motivates metta.
Conditions. Mm-hmm. And we could say that when it is right understanding,
understanding of realities as opposed to right understanding through the development of calm, that it conditions more metta or higher metta or just more detachment with metta.
Motivated still with wrong understanding.
What about metta bhavana's samatha subject in the
when it's metta, it towards people.
Yeah.
From one person to another.
Yeah. That was taught by the Buddha, metta bhavana. It's in the Suddhimagga, one of the kamatana, one of the subjects of samatha.
It can be either samatha or vipassana.
Or vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
Just depending on the kind and level of understanding that develops.
This is
something else that was conditioned by a comment of Alberto's. We had a bit of a discussion about, you mentioned that the rupa, which is no more, appears again in the mind or processed by the magic of sanya. We discussed that. But we talk about sanya marking each moment, and in the text it talks about how all sanya has the characteristic of recognition, and its property is the making of representation, nimitta, that is the condition of recognizing again. And so it's called the sanya, nimitta marker. Well, we know each reality has a nimitta, not just sanya. So when it talks about being the nimitta marker, I think it just means that it marks and recognizes the sign. Is that all that's meant by being the nimitta marker?
It's not trying to know the function of sanya, but now is the sanya. It's more important.
Yeah, just marking and remembering at each moment, yes. And the
visible object, which is experienced immediately after the idol process in the mind or process. We can't say this is anything to do with sanya. I think it's just the nature of Chitta's the niyama, that after idol processes mind, but it must be there at each moment, that it's not because of sanya that this occurs, but sanya keeps marking at each moment.
Whenever chitta arises, sanya is there.
Anything else to discuss about sanya?
I was thinking about another thing. When reality appears. You say appears.
Okay, now.
Appears. Back now. Okay.
Yeah.
And even when they're just gone, they're not there anymore, they still appear.
Even nimitta. When, nimitta.
Nimitta.
Yeah.
But it's still reality.
The one which has fallen away is not the one which just arrives after or succeeds that one. But they appear like they are there, like you turn on something so fast. Yeah. Because you see that
the one that has fallen has gone, but the next one took rise again, arising and arising and arising, it keeps on arising. So it feels like the same one.
So it is not so much that Panya experiences one reality at a time. It understands, because it's still nimitta that's experienced, but it understands deeper and deeper about the one reality.
And even when Panya is highly developed, for example, at moments of vipassana and jnana, it's still the nimitta of the conditioned reality that is experience. So in a quote from a tape, I'm not sure if this is the exact quote, but it mentions that before the experiencing of a concept, there is nimitta. In vipassana jnana, there is a nimitta, but it is a hindrance.
Is this correct? What? In Vipassana jnana, there is a nimitta, but it is a hindrance. Is this correct?
There is a nimitta, but then what? Hindrance?
But it is a hindrance. I don't understand.
No,
that.
Not
that
a hindrance.
That doesn't make sense, no. I'll just give the full quote that actually Nina gave from a tape, but maybe the last part is not what you wrote. In order to understand nimitta, it has to be this moment. What is seen, it's the succession of the arising and falling away of reality. Seeing an eyebrow, shape and form is nimitta. The idea of nimitta is there. We would not know this without nimitta. What is left is the sign or form of reality is something permanent, like a human being or a face.
This is before Vipassana jnana.
This is correct.
Before,
yes.
Right awareness.
And then it says concept, that is when we have the idea of people and things. Before the experiencing of a concept, there is nimitta. In Vipassana jnana, there is a nimitta, but it is a hindrance.
Not a hindrance.
No, I don't think so. Because that is what is experienced. Nimitta is a sign of what arises and falls away. Mm. The image is left from the arising and falling away.
It's like this moment,
yeah.
Because reality arises and falls away in split seconds, cannot be changed. But the panya penetrate through it with understanding,
yes.
The nimitta, which is like now,
yes.
Before the higher development of panya.
I'm just wondering what is being confused when she mentions nimitta is a hindrance, what she's thinking about like in Vipassana jnana, what is it that
maybe
is...
Maybe concept.
That is said to be a hindrance.
Concept can hinder, but nimitta. But when there's the idea of something, it hinder.
Yes.
But when there is right understanding, it doesn't hinder.
Or maybe it's here, it's nimitta as in the second meaning, as in nimitta anupriyanchana. The nimitta.
But that is the satipatthana when it's nimitta anupayanchana.
So
that's
maybe that's the hindrance.
But that's not Vipassana jnana.
Oh, that's not.
So in Vipassana jnana, that's the nimitta of reality. So, anyway. Right, I'll come back to this friend's comment that I was going to bring up yesterday briefly. Because it relates a little bit to some of the comments we've been discussing. He writes, I will add that when there is better conventional behavior, one feels confident that the Dharma is making a difference in one's life, and that confidence leads to better conditions for paying attention to the teachings with a sense of gratitude and respect. So it's an idea that before beginning to study and understand about characteristics in daily life, first of all, there has to be better conventional behavior, and because we don't have bad behavior, we don't understand. Do you have any comments?
Akusala sila, kusala sila, and apajagata sila.
Which one?
Which sila?
I think he would say kusala sila.
With or without right understanding?
Maybe not. Without right understanding.
For how long? The whole life or what? Or at moment of understanding, it's higher sila.
Yes.
No need to.
But before that can happen, there must be lower sila.
Now? Is there viruti jetasik or what kind of sila?
Right. There can be understanding now, but no need for sila. There can be understanding, but
right understanding only can understand the akusala sila and kusala sila,
right.
And avijagata sila. So we just talk about that, which there is no understanding. Like what kind of sila? Five precepts, or monk sila, or what? Or indriya sila, or ati sila, ati citta, and ati panya.
Five sila.
Five sila in daily life cannot eradicate the idea of self.
But before there can be any panya,
at moment of understanding with right awareness, it is a disila, much better than trying to keep five sila.
But that is not likely to happen if there is no five sila.
Mm-hmm. So the self would like or cling to sila again.
So this is just self thinking that way.
Mm-hmm. But when there's understanding, one can say what's meant by sila. And there can be more moments of understanding realities which are not self, that which experiences or that which is experienced.
And there's no interest in understanding what is sila also.
Because
like you said, there are different kinds of sila, akusla sila.
Akusla sila.
Akusla sila.
Much better than five silas. Because it's more deep, subtle. Because at moment of abstaining, there is no right understanding whether it is what kind of sila. But at moment when citta is akusala, see, it can condition moving, see, reaching out the hand, akusala sila, through body or through speech. Because even body, the manners of the body and the manners of speech is conditioned by citta. Kusala citta or akusala citta.
Could we say that there can't be understanding of kusala sila if there's no understanding of akusala sila?
There can't be
understanding of kusala sila if there is no understanding of akusala sila.
Of dhamma.
Of dhamma.
What conditions sila? See? Kusala citta or akusala citta?
And again, we tend to think in terms of behavior or in a conventional situation, again, not understanding citta, different cittas at this moment.
So can the rupa be sila? Only citta and cetasikas.
She asked if the rupa can be sila rupa. No, it's only citta and cetasikas.
Anything, cannot experience anything. It's just conditioned by citta at moment. Like when reaching out the hand, as you mentioned, yeah. It's just rupa's conditioned by kusala akusala citta.
When the akusala citta gets stronger and stronger, it conditions not just ordinary or daily manners.
To understand the Dhamma, you mean the citta and cetasika which cause that sila? When you said to understand the Dhamma, mm-hmm. You mean the citta and cetasika?
You understand what's meant by sila. Because it has to be motivated by citta. What kind of citta is there? For example, even it's not stealing the daily manners, just doing like this, what conditioned it? Akusa sila. But when it's more and more stronger, it can condition such and such, what you call akusala. It's kama, akusala kama.
So it's not a situation that we need to understand about citta and cetasika.
So we can understand better and better about sila in daily life. Done by akusala citta most of the time, even holding the microphone. In order to understand, it's not easy to have less attachment. It needs the words of the teaching so much.
And you say whenever the citta conditions kaya vinyati or vachi vinyati, it is sila kusala or kusala sila at that moment,
okay.
So even when completely unknown, and so even when walking or any time.
Otherwise, there will never be arahata at all.
And self can never understand sila.
Self only wants to do this and do that.
Is that the teachings of the Buddha? See, the difference between the teachings of the Buddha and the other teachings, that the other teachings does not teach about reality and the truth of reality at all. While each word of the Buddha himself, no matter it's about sila or whatever, it concerns the understanding of realities.
And can one say, if someone is very concerned about their bad behavior, for example, that there better be the beginning of understanding different realities now, or it's not self, otherwise, if there's no understanding of the akusala arising now, how can there be any avoiding of harmful behavior later? Mm-hmm. So it has to begin with understanding kusala and akusala and all kinds of dharmas now.
So how can that person say that he or she followed the teachings?
Shows that there's no satyayana of the fourth noble truth.
Any word in 4 to 5 years are so valuable, not to let anyone think wrongly with ignorance.